Isn't it amazing how this living word is a living word? I think we had that reading last week. I noticed that. But it's a living word. And every time we read it and dip into it, we are refreshed and God speaks to us in different ways. I'm always amazed by that. So the message that I'm bringing this morning is all about keeping to the path in Christ and with Christ. So good morning again, and we are now well into our One Anothering series. And there are a number of words, verbs or doing words that we've taken a close look at so far. And these all give us a great insight as to what it really means to follow Jesus and to love one another as I have loved you. Some words that come to my mind are serve one another, pray for one another, comfort one another, forgive one another. And today's word, admonish one another. Ouch. I don't really like the sound of that word too much. It seems like quite an old-fashioned word. Don't you think it's unfamiliar in today's vernacular? It made me cast my mind back to my childhood, it really did, and my grandmother who came out to New Zealand in 19-something, 5 or 7, but she brought with her her British English at the age of 10, and she loved to pass it down to my mum and then down to her children, me. I immediately thought of some kind of scolding, you know, a growling, something I'd done wrong, and she was going to make sure I knew about it, you know. But I thought, this doesn't sound much like our loving God. We're told that God is slow to anger and quick to love. So I thought it was necessary to look up the meaning of this word, admonish. And in the Oxford Dictionary, I think it's a pretty good reference. I learnt that there were some nuances. So the first one is indeed the one of my grandmother, a kind of a growling. And some of the synonyms were also as old-fashioned as admonish, rebuke, chastise, scold, and so on. But the other definition was to advise or to urge someone earnestly. Advise or urge earnestly. And then there was a third one that was said to be archaic or out of date. And it said that admonish meant to warn someone of something to be avoided. So another thing is to look at the different translations. So today's translation from the New International Version said teach and admonish, but other translations, and I know that we use the Good News a lot in this congregation, it says teach and instruct, nothing about growling. The New Living Translation says teach and counsel. And finally, the Common English Bible says teach and warn. So I put a few of those words up there to just give us an understanding that admonish is rich in meaning. But the one that I'd like for us to retain today is the giving of advice or a warning in order to rectify or avoid something. And the reason for that is because of the context in which Paul was writing to the Colossians. And I hope you're not disappointed. It's not going to be an excuse to rip into each other or anything. And I'm sure, I think that my hope is that you will understand that to admonish one another is very much in line with what Christ tells us in Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. So admonishing has gentleness to it. So when I began to think of admonishing as being advice or warning, The Holy Spirit brought to my attention as I prayed over this passage a few weeks ago a story from my childhood again. So Simon and I were born in the Bay of Plenty in Tauranga, and an old buried memory amazingly came to mind as I was getting ready for this. I remember quite a few frequent trips to the geothermal areas in Rotorua. My parents had lived in the New Hebrides, Vanuatu now for a few years, and every time somebody came from that island, lo and behold, back to Rotorua, and every time. So overseas travel was less frequent today, but we made trips to the famous geothermal sites. Whakarewarewa one time, and this one in this photo is Waiotapu. Sometimes we'd go down to Araki Karako near Taupo, and I've got some photos of that a little bit further along. But something made me remember when it said warning or advice, something came to my mind, and it was, Pauline, don't run ahead, stay close, keep to the path. It just came to me. And yeah, wow, the danger there, boiling mud pools, geysers, sulfuric acid, the lot. As a parent, I think you can imagine how fearful you would be if your little kid ran off ahead on the path and so on. So when I showed this photo to Howard, though, he said, you can put a joke in there, Pauline. So don't think for any minute that this photo is some excuse for me to deliver a hellfire and brimstone sermon. But to admonish one another is to give a warning to rectify something. And what does that mean? As I said, it's because of the way Paul was writing. Do not drift from the path of the gospel. We're to warn in each other earnestly to keep to the life in Christ and with Christ. Keep to the path of living out the gospel. And I'm suggesting that from our reading today, we get a few things for our journey. Stick to Jesus, stick together, and stick to singing. You'll find out a bit more about that one. So stick to Jesus. This is from our passage today. Jesus is the light as we walk on the path of life, and life on the path is living out the gospel. So in verse 15, we heard, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So his peace. Verse 16, the next one, let the message or the word of Christ dwell among you. And then verse 17, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So his peace, his word, his name. And in this passage, the name Christ is used. Now, some of you might ask, is that Jesus' surname, like Jesus Christ? But the Christ actually meant the anointed one or the chosen one of God. And it's a translation of Mashiach, or in Jewish, or Messiah, because that was what the Jewish people were expecting. They were expecting a savior, the one sent by God. So Christ means the chosen one, the one sent by God. And Jesus is his human name, and that means rescuer. So in our passage, it says Christ, and we can also use the name Jesus, rescuer, peace of Christ, word of Christ, name of Christ. It's all centered on Jesus, and we can say, stick to Jesus. In writing to the Colossians, Paul was warning of a danger. In that city, we read in chapter 2 that people, the early Christians, were threatened in their unity already. We can discern that things were not going all right in Colossae. And in fact, it's a city that no longer exists, but it was in Turkey, southern Turkey. The people were not staying on the path with Christ and in Christ. So in chapter 2, which is, we're in chapter 3 today, chapter 2, it says the dangers were things such as angel worship, self-imposed wisdom, the wisdom of humanity rather than the wisdom of God, harsh treatment of the body. Was that kind of some kind of flagellation or something? So some things that were really coming in and making life difficult rather than the simple message of the gospel. Hollow and deceptive philosophy based on human tradition is what Paul said. So Paul is trying to say in this passage that the people of Colossae possess all they need in Christ, belonging to Christ. They don't need to add all of this other stuff. And in our Christian tradition, there have been times in history when we also started adding a lot of stuff to the gospel. And in the 1500s in Germany, Martin Luther pinned his 95 thesis onto a church in Wittenberg. And this was because he also saw a danger that the church was wandering off the path in Christ. The practice had started where people could pay money to get their sins forgiven. It was called indulgences. And there were many other things that he criticized, but that was the one that he criticized the most. God's great gift of forgiveness through Jesus Christ was being lost. They weren't sticking to Jesus. So keeping on the path is something I suggest we need to be continually thinking about. Staying on the path of life and truth with Christ is to recognize how this path is lit up. And so let's look at peace, word, and name. The peace of Christ doesn't, in my opinion, refer only to that feeling of serenity that we get through the power of the Spirit, that we have inside ourselves when we know Christ. Yes, it means that, but there is there's a sense of something bigger. It's the sense that Christ's death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven is enough. It's enough. There's nothing that I can add to it. There's nothing that you can add to it. It's enough. It's enough. And so that for me is very enriching. It's actually very freeing to think, oh, I don't have to conjure up this peace. I don't have to conjure up the Holy Spirit. Yes, I have that. But when I just think Christ did it all, then that is the peace of Christ that dwells richly not only amongst us but amongst each other, which is what the passage says today. It's a peace that comes through the absolute assurance of living in a kingdom where Jesus, the Messiah, the chosen one, is present still today, guiding, deciding, judging, leading. And with a peaceful assurance that he will come again to bring a new heaven and a new earth. The people of Colossae were trying to add more things to Christianity instead of focusing on how the salvation in Christ achieves the ultimate peace. And resting reassured in this truth, this is the peace of Christ. And the indicators of our path, the second indicator is the word of Christ in verse 16. This means seeing in the scriptures in the same way that Jesus explained all of the scriptures to the couple on the road to Emmaus. We can see that in his word, everything points to Christ. The message of Christ is the chosen one, God's salvation, Emmanuel, God coming to be with humanity. And the word, it says in the passage today, let the word dwell richly among you. The third indicator of following the path with Christ is the use of his name. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God with power over everything. It says in chapter 1 of the same book, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. What amazing power, the use of his name. His name is Mighty, and that is why we stay on the path when we do all things in His name. So when we stick to Jesus, we keep it simple, and we stay on the path to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus triumphs and outrules all the complicated ways of religion. Stick to Jesus. Okay, so in our passage it said also stick together. When we live out the path of life together, that's when we stick to Jesus as well. So stick together. In verse 15, it says, as members of one body, you were called to peace. So let the peace of Christ dwell richly, not just in me, but among you. So to the opposite of what we might have thought when we first read the words admonish one another, that we kind of got permission to give each other a godly growling, to the contrary, we're warned to stay together, stick together, and prioritize peace over all other things. Christ is the head of our group, and how we warn each other, remember, warn each other of something that we need to stick to or rectify, that's admonish, we admonish, is to continuously acknowledge Him as the leader of our walk. In one body, we recognize we all have different functions and gifts and talents, and this is the amazing thing about this church, that we all come in to play our part. But Jesus is the leader of our path. He is the leader of our walk. So He is the one who's got the lamp on His head. So any kind of admonishing that we do should be in a way to keep His command of a unity of love. I'd like to suggest when we stick together, admonishing is firstly about we point out the path to others, helping people to understand the gospel. We do this a lot in this church. We have a focus on the passage of Scripture. We have a big long sermon. But we also have our home groups where we read and we study the Bible. And then if you need to warn somebody, if you see that maybe they might be wandering off the path, using the word is the most gracious way of directing somebody back to Jesus, to Christ. We might point out a passage of Scripture that may help our friend, our brother or sister in Christ. But we also point out the dangers. And some of those dangers might be things like overemphasizing the rules of religion, overemphasizing what we think is right or wrong. Another danger might be ourselves trying to overdo our good deeds and see that actually we've gone back to this thing of trying to earn our salvation rather than grace. So these are some of the dangers that with those hot pools and those boiling mud pools that might be on either side of the path. So it's good to be aware of them. But don't focus on them. Focus on the path in Christ and with Christ. We can also walk the path with one another. So if you think somebody might be maybe losing their faith or something, just walk alongside them for a little bit. It goes such a long way rather than pointing out what might be wrong. And we always focus on the positives first. Some of you know I worked in business before training for ministry, and Harvard Business Review was one of my favourites. And I read recently that for every one thing that you tell somebody they need to correct, you need to give five affirmations of positive in order for them to even want to take on board your constructive criticism, if you will. So five positives for one negative. And then possibly somebody might think, hey, you've got a good point. But they're not going to say you've got a good point unless you've reaffirmed over and over again how much you see them walking in the path with Christ. Okay, so the last part, we said stick to Jesus, stick together, and now we're going to do stick to singing. Where does that one come from? We love to sing here. The most amazing is that's how it is recommended to admonish one another. We'll just read it again. Admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. So if you're going to give somebody warning or advice to stick to the gospel, sing as many songs as you can. Read the Psalms. And you will notice that in our rich Christian tradition, we have wonderful words of hymns. The first one that we sang, you know, this morning with five whole verses is all about sticking to the path in Christ. And this is also an expression of the overflow of gratitude and thanks that we have. Although we keep our eyes on the dangers, we are overflowing in our thanks and gratitude to the Lord. And this is why we warn each other. So it's like a two-way thing. As we sing together, we keep each other on track and we honor God. Oh, another funny story. We talked about Girls Brigade today, and the Spirit brought this to my mind as I was preparing. I was thinking of a long hike on that path and a kind of a song that we might say. One man went to mow a meadow. One man, two men, three men, and his dog went to mow a meadow. Does anybody know that one? Well, maybe that was the song that my father decided to sing when we were all really tired on that hike. And I thought, it's actually great lyrics. It's all about not forgetting the one person. One man, two men, three, and the dog, don't forget anybody. And so as we walk this path and we stick to singing, it keeps our minds off the blisters and the pain, because we come together, we worship God together. And then this is the same in our walk of life in Christ, the rhythm of attending worship every Sunday. It rhythms our walk on the path and makes sure everyone is doing okay. And if they're not turning up, then we reach out. Are you okay? So keep coming to church. And the meaning of our songs are sometimes based on the Psalms, and the Psalms continuously tell us the story of the gospel. So God's intention to always come and dwell with mankind, to be with and to redeem us, his people. We sing the songs, we're reminded to stick to the path. Our songs talk about Jesus and what it means to follow him and no other, to acknowledge Christ as the Redeemer. This is our response to God and what he has done for us. It also makes sure that we don't go down that path of loneliness, individualism, thinking all about me. I don't really want to be on that path with all that those boiling mud pools around me on my own. So as we worship together, we're able to live out life differently. We're able to live out something where it's not dog eat dog or one person against another. We are able to walk that path together through our singing of psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. In song, we urge each other to stay on the path. So that's all about the stick to singing. If you don't like singing, you don't have to sing, but stick to worship. Okay, so let's sum it up. The word admonish is all about keeping away from danger with each other. Keep to the path. Keep to the path of life in Christ and in living out the gospel. We do this when we stick to Jesus, stick together, and stick with singing. Jesus lights our path, the peace of Christ, the word of Christ, the name of Christ. Jesus is our leader, and any admonishing is only to point out the dangers or warn somebody, rectify them to keep back on the path. And we stick to singing, and jokes apart, we come to worship regularly, we hear, and we respond to God in worship. Okay, so with that, I'd just like to close with a prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. We today, in our worship of you together in this place, we declare we are one people and you are our leader. We take on board that we are urged each other to stick to the path of life in you. You are our peace. You are our word. You are the only name that lights the way. And Lord, we sing this out joyfully with huge thanks and gratefulness. Amen.